At that time, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, hadst thou been here, my brother had not died. And even now I know that whatever thou shalt ask of God, God will give thee." Jesus said to her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, even if he die, shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith to him, "Yea, Lord, I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that cometh into the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that cometh into the world. I have this text from my father's prayer book that he got in Australia in Catholic elementary school. And it has the text right here, the Gospel, Mass on the Day of Burial. Who would have imagined it would wind up in these hands in this place at this time? Because my father was raised by agnostic parents, and although he was given Christian baptism, Catholic baptism in Catholic elementary school, he followed the way of his parents and became agnostic soon enough. And so we, in our little remembrance in our priest service, we acknowledged how he was busy pulling above his weight, which makes him a bit like Martha in our gospel, who met Jesus. You remember the other story of Martha, who was busy with many things, in contrast to Mary. But it also makes him a bit like Thomas, who's famous for doubting. Now, it wasn't in this reading, but earlier in the context of this passage, this is the context, by the way, of this passage where Martha is addressing Jesus, is at the death of Lazarus, the death of his friend. And so as Jesus is going to Jerusalem, where people were opposing him, Thomas is the one who answered those who were afraid to accompany him because of the persecution, "Let us go and die with him." So we have these two figures here who are often known for their shortcomings. Thomas, doubting Thomas. Martha, who was too busy to contemplate God. But here they both bring us to Jesus. Two people who have much in common with my father, especially in his more vigorous days of life. And so, here Martha, however, is the one who comes to Jesus when Mary was too busy fretting at home. So here is where her propensity to be active actually helped. She came to Jesus and said, "Can you not do something?" And actually says, "If you had been here, he would not have died. But what are you going to do now?" And so Jesus tells her that "thy brother shall rise again," to which Martha seems to be saying that she knows that he will be raised. She says, I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection on the last day. Now understand that this is nothing new, because all Jews, at least of this persuasion, believed in a general resurrection of the body at the last day. At the end of time, all people would be raised. That's what other Pharisees, other Jews of this time also believed. And so she's basically saying to Jesus, well, yes, I know, thank you very much, that eventually he will rise. And this can kind of describe the way my father was, believing in a sense that, well, agnostic, there's a God and he will do something to solve all things in the end somehow. But that's not for the here and now. And so part of my project, ever since I became an adult, when I first believed, was to bring my father along with me so that he would understand that this is not just for some unspecified amorphous time, but no, this is for now. And so the passage unfolds as Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. That is me in the body speaking to you here and now, not the future, but now, present tense. He that believeth in me, even if he die, shall live. And so, this is the Christian truth, that eternal life breaks into time. And so, this happens as we encounter Christ now, have a relationship with him now, believe that Jesus is coming to save the world, and put our trust in him. And this became most clear for my father when he was in a community attending Mass here at Mount Calvary. This is where he became a regular communicant. This is when he encountered Christ in the sacraments, spiritual become physical. And this is when he understood for the first time eternity breaks into time. And he put his hope into something more. We see the realization for Martha, where the passage just continues without break. But you have to understand here that something sunk into Martha at this point that she didn't have before. There's a complete reorientation of her soul that takes place here. If you were to dramatize this, it would look like this. Jesus continues his words. Whoever liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die. Believeth thou this? You can imagine her standing there, silence, blinking. It sinks in. Then she answers, yea, Lord, I have believed. Now, I mean, what I believed at the end of time now takes place in time, starts at least in time. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that cometh into the world. And it's because he came into the world that we have hope for my father now, and for you, and for me, and for all who are in the body, that this is not the end. So before we conclude, however, I just want to share just a few more words to pull together the final experiences of my father and how we reconcile that with the sacramental glory of the Lord that breaks into time. Because if we have an encounter with a supernatural sacrament, how do we reconcile the deterioration of our understanding with the deterioration of the body? So we've seen him over the last year lose some of his cognitive ability as his physical mind began to fail. And so it is, C.S. Lewis said, that Adam was given a physical body, the new Adam, Jesus, in him will inherit a spiritual body. The translation of this, I had a professor in seminary, spent at least 6 hours of class time unpacking that passage. I won't go into that for you. My father would not want me to even begin to unpack that. But I can say this, is that natural body is our best attempt to translate a living soul. Soul is physical and spiritual together. That's what Adam received. And it has its limitations, even though it is very good. To describe this body, I'd like to share some words that I think my father would very much appreciate. And that is the words of C.S. Lewis describing the body, unpacking St. Francis's term for the body, which is brotheras. Now, the Greeks often see the body as being a challenge. It weighs us down. The spirit is good. There are some who try to glorify the body, especially we see this in our present age, in advertisements. We know that doesn't hold water today. But C.S. Lewis says about the body, and I think we can appreciate this, the ass is exquisitely right as a description, because no one in his senses can either revere or hate a donkey. It is a useful, sturdy, lazy, obstinate, patient, lovable, and infuriating beast, deserving now a stick and now a carrot, both pathetically and absurdly beautiful. So the body. So my father made very good use of this body until he no longer could, just as donkeys sometimes just don't move when you want them to, as helpful as they have been. But God promises that we will receive another body, spiritual matter and spirit together. And that body is for what we were ultimately made. That is our hope. When the last book I gave my father, which he wasn't really quite, didn't have the attention span to absorb, but was about out-of-body experiences. And those couple of us were sharing about that just this past Sunday. And what we have in common, as these are recounted, Richard John Newhouse recounts this in the operating room, seeing above, seeing Cardinal John O'Connor at his body saying, "Richard, move your nose." He saw this up from above. When this happens, senses are greater than they've ever experienced before. Those who experience this often are able to see beyond time, even see colors that were never experienced in this world. So yes, we are limited by the constraints, by the optic nerve, by our physical body, but this is a foretaste of something more. So that's the hope that we have today in our Lord Jesus Christ. Coming back to our passage, this is that hope that Martha went out actively to encounter, even as my father did, as he came here week by week while he could, and became no longer a doubting Thomas. But as he touched that body and blood that we will receive today, he became like that Thomas who was the believing Thomas, who touched that resurrected body of Jesus, and he said he believed. That is the body that is the promise to my father now and to all of us as we put our hope in our Lord, who brings all our qualities to fruition in him. May we experience that foretaste all the more today.